Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with
Christine Marie
and Julie.
That's me. I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie. And we're going to have a great night tonight. We decided once again not to have a guest because we are free-flowing. And we just want to hang out with the girlfriends tonight.
Yeah, we're the girlfriends. We're mother and daughter, by the way.
Yes.
And, you know, people have said to me, you don't tell us how to get a hold of you guys. I'm like, right. That's right. We don't want you to get a hold of us. No, but tonight we will give an email address out.
I say do it now, girlfriend.
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yes, you can go to talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. You can go to theclutterflyeffect.com. But the best way to get a hold of us is at ChristineMarieAndJulie. talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yeah.
It's a fun way of getting a hold of us. It's an old-fashioned way. It's through the email.
Oh, yeah, that's so old school.
Exactly. But we're going to have a wonderful show tonight. Because,
are we?
Yes,
really?
We are.
You promise?
I cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. I'm also doing the Boy Scout salute with my little two fingers up.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about relationships.
Marriage. No way.
Yes. Marriage, relationships. We're going to talk about this awesome book called The Giving Tree. And you may disagree with that.
Awesome.
I know.
No.
I have. We talked about this earlier, and I said, I know the story, Mom. Don't tell me. I know it.
And like, I said, I want to tell you the story because I was, like, really impressed with it.
I know. And I said, don't tell me. I know it already. Don't tell me. Please, don't tell me.
Now I understand why.
Tears running down my ears. My eyes.
Are your legs.
Are my legs. One or two. And then we want to talk about something a lot of us have to deal with, which are the haters in the world. And how to deal with it and kind of have some fun with it and maybe probe the mind of the haters. And am I a hater in disguise? No, I'm not. I'm not. And maybe, I don't know.
No.
Maybe I don't know. I could be. I could be. We'll see.
We'll see.
It was so cute. Earlier today, I was with Mom. And if you guys know us by now. You know, we're mother and daughter. We're law of attraction coaches. We're authors of the number one best-selling Amazon book, woohoo! The Clutterfly Effect. Yes, tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life and get it on Amazon. And we actually have a special. So if you guys get on Amazon, just send us an email at talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie and say, hey, we bought the book. Here is my receipt number. And we will send the audio download of the book.
Hey, Jules.
Yes.
Who does the audio of our book?
Could it be
Christine Marie and Julie?
I'm just saying.
OMG.
It could be. Exactly.
Well, listen, that is worth the price of admission.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And you just go to Amazon and do that. And that's kind of why we want to talk about haters a little bit, because we have some really great reviews, and then a couple more one mediocre review that we want to talk about and share.
Yeah, well, it was out of 5 stars, it was a 3.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the book, The Four Agreements, for heaven's sake, there's a lot more haters on that book. A lot more haters. Not comparing our book to that, but, you know, why not?
Mm.
I think that's okay. So anyway, I was with Mom, and I was giving her a neck massage for her Sunday present. I don't know why. I'm also a massage therapist. You guys heard that story last time.
Yes.
How I became a massage therapist.
Is a nude massage therapist.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm sorry. You got your massage therapist training.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
You got it all straight now. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Consequently, you sometimes say, hey, I got a kink in my neck. What do you think? And then you go on and I say, oh, I don't know if I got time. And you're like, you know how long I was in labor to deliver you? It was a long time. Do you know how much you cost me through the years? And I'm like, I'll be over. I'll come. Wait a second. I'll give you that neck massage. For heaven's sake, you're right.
Yeah, but you are good, though. You are grand.
Well, thank you very much. So I was giving you a neck massage, and I was in your master bedroom, and I see Daddy, and he goes, oh, you know, Chris, what do you think about my hair? It looks good, right? Because I guess you had given him a haircut earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, it looks real good. I like the way you combed it. Because, yeah, I did a real good job combing it and styling it and so forth. And then he leaves the room. And then you say to me, that man cannot style his hair for nothing. What is wrong with him? I did not cut his hair to look like that. He's insane. I go, and you're like, Julie, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And sure enough, though, when you act with him, you're like, hey, good job. I'm so proud of you. It looks awesome. You know, you're a handsome man here.
That's right.
And so it got me thinking, this is a good behavior to keep a marriage going strong. You've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you have a lot of other secrets
I do.
To having a healthy marriage. And just by chance today, I was on Huffington Post, and I saw this a little story about the 5 myths to a happy marriage.
Mm.
And I want to go over it with you. Because
good.
That'd be kind of fun to talk about it with you.
I know you said, I'm not going to tell you, Mom. I'm just going to surprise you.
Yes, and I want to know your input from a real-life marriage survivor.
Yeah, 40 years.
Yes.
40 years of marriage.
Can you believe it? That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, almost 30.
Okay, can I divert real quick?
Sure.
There is this one, and maybe I have said this already on the show, and if I do, I apologize.
This show right now?
This not today's show,
okay.
But maybe a previous show.
All
I
right.
might have said this, but this is how much this commercial bugs me. So it's a Swifter commercial. We know Swifter, right? It's the cool apparatus that you use to clean the floors and to clean up high
and
down below.
Is it a Swifter or a Swiffer?
I don't know. I thought it was Swifter.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is a Swiffer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
Yeah, but we know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, good.
It electromagnetically picks up dust.
Yes, and sometimes you can wash the floor with it. It's all a wide variety of
mm-hmm.
things now, but it's supposed to make cleaning easier, and it does.
Mm-hmm.
But this couple is their spokesperson for the new whole line of Swiffers, or Swifters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, it's me and Marty. You know, I don't know what her name is. I can't
yeah.
remember.
Morty.
You know, Morty,
I need help, Morty, getting the dust up there on that.
Oh, don't get up on the ladder or on the table. Don't get up. Oh, you're too old to get up on there. Get back down. Oh, we've been married for 40 years and have 4 children and 8 grandchildren. Please, you're obviously in
they
your
look 80s. To me like they're 80 something.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, so she was practically in menopause.
When she popped out those kids,
yeah, exactly.
Unless she adopted them all when she was in her 40s, which I'm not saying that could have happened.
That's
I'm
true.
Not saying.
You know, we don't make assumptions.
No, which we'll talk about that.
Which we'll talk about later.
But I just was like, come on, you think you're pulling my leg, and you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they didn't want to say truly how long they were married,
mm-hmm.
but it has freaked me out. Or they have not weathered the space of time very well.
Yeah,
life has not been good to them.
At least on the roadmap of their phase.
They just look very, what I consider, retirement looking. You know?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
that's
no,
not 60
no, I
anymore.
Mean,
that's
I would
80.
Say, I would say assisted living.
Yes.
You're wondering, you know, they should be in a, you know, having food delivered to them or you know, going to
Meals on Wheels.
Yeah,
you know, where we're all going one day. Yes, exactly. Well, they just come across like they're at the time in their life they just kind of want to chill,
mm-hmm.
sit in front of TV,
mm-hmm.
chill, you know.
Yeah.
Have their cats.
Yeah, I just don't know how long they're going to last as these spokesmodels.
Yes,
for Swiffer.
Because I think it's not their target market. First of all,
you know, that's a very small niche.
Yes.
Or niches, you know.
So
I'm sorry for digressing. 80 plus years, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm sorry for digressing. But
No.
But that is a very small niche for Swiffers.
Yeah, I'm wondering what advertising agency they hooked up with that said, you know, it's this couple here, they've been married 40 years,
yeah.
they're like 85 years old, and I think they're gold. I think it's gold here.
I think it's gold. You know,
I think they're golden. No,
yeah.
olden. No, golden. Oh, okay, right.
But I know people who have been married 35, 40 years, 40 plus years,
mm-hmm.
and they got a lot of life going on still.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, that's when, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
60 doesn't look like that anymore.
You know, unless they're saying, we already have our market developed.
Right.
But the thinking is, you know, we're missing that 80-plus market.
Right.
Let's do a commercial and tailor just to Morty and Effie, you know.
Maybe so.
I don't really know. I don't know, girlfriend.
But I remember growing up thinking that, when I was much younger, thinking that, oh, my gosh, no one was married for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big celebration.
Right.
Now I don't feel that way. I don't feel that that's hard to get to anymore.
Right.
I mean, with being alive.
Well, I remember my parents wanting a, you know, like a big party, you know, where they invite everybody for the 35th, because they felt like, you know, hey, you know, who makes it that long for 40 even?
Yes. And did they have a, they had a big party, didn't they, or did they not have a big party?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's
they
cool.
Did. Yeah.
I don't know when you want your big party, but we'll do it soon. I say we go to the, you know, Mykonos. Is that the
yes.
island in Greece?
Yes. Oh, my God. I have the same thought.
I do. Yes, we're yes. watching the Kardashians, and
yes.
I love where they're at right now in Greece.
They're in Mykonos Island in Greece, which supposedly Greece is bankrupt, right?
Yes.
But not where they're at, baby doll.
Yes.
They're like, whoa.
Very
and, of course, I'm sure that, you know, the mayor or whoever will call us up like they did
hey.
The Kardashians
yeah.
and say, you know, we want to just, you know, put out the fatted goose for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Maybe. I can always hope.
One can hope. They say, oh, my God, Christy, Marie, and Julie, life with a girlfriend? Come to Greece.
Yes, please.
Come on our dime. We'll have the, you know, the house on the ocean.
Because you know they're not spending any money on this vacation.
Oh, no. No.
It's all been given to them.
You bet. I bet they don't do anything where they spend money.
I agree.
I don't know what vortex that, you know.
And we're probably breaking another another agreement from the four agreements.
We are.
Yeah, don't make assumptions.
But we ever get there. By the time we get to the four agreements, we're like, we'll have broken
them all. And that is my goal today during the show, to break every one of those four agreements. I like to add a little spice to the show, and that's my goal.
Do you know how long, though, that book has been number one? For decades.
Has it been for decades?
I mean,
a long time.
At least 10 years.
Has it really?
I think so.
Oh,
you can
cool.
We can look it up, or have
yes.
somebody look it up.
That's no problem.
Somebody will go up there and go, oh, thank God they gave us their emails. So I can tell them now that they are
wrong. Exactly.
You okay, girlfriend?
I am. I got a little deep wheeze somewhere. I don't know mm-hmm. what's going on.
I
Who
offered
knows?
You some wheeze spray.
I know you did. Anyway, so let's get back to the 5 myths of a happy marriage. I want to get your take on it, because the first one is, here's a myth, never go to bed angry.
That's
a myth, but
right.
I've always heard that, hey, never go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that philosophy, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
but I have a way, I never get into such big conflicts with the people that I love.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
That I can't mm-hmm. just resolve it by saying, you know what, I'm sorry, or let's just agree to disagree,
yeah, exactly.
or whatever.
I mean, that's interesting, because for Norm and I, we're sort of lucky now, because, you know, in the earlier years, you know, we could be that angry, you know, still at bedtime, you know, and then it's just painful, you know. But, I mean, like even the Bible says, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger, you know, so you're really, you know, it's not at this level. You know, you want to just, like, take care of your stress. You really want to go downstream. Nothing is that earth-shattering, hopefully, you
right.
know, where that you have to be like, oh, I don't want to go to bed. You know, I'm just going to keep this, I'm right and he's wrong, or, you know,
right.
all that stuff. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I have seen couples where there is one person that always seems to be more agitated than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the other spouse just lets it be, doesn't
mm-hmm.
engage. I used to think that was a sign of weakness. And now the older I get, the more I realize that I don't know anything about their marriage in particular,
mm-hmm.
and they just may know how not to engage,
mm-hmm.
and also not to, how it won't affect, how to, you know, they put a shield up around them. It no longer disturbs their energy,
mm-hmm.
their sense of peace.
But also, too, that is true. But there's some passive-aggressive behavior in, you know, like not fighting back.
Right.
And, you know, it kills the other person, you know. Like, they're just like, please engage with me. Please, I want something from you, you know. But
oh, interesting. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you think the person who's not engaging is being passive-aggressive.
Sometimes.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I would think, and the other person who is picking the fight is just being aggressive or needs some kind of resolution.
You know, at the core of all those kind of feelings is somebody's hurt.
Right. That's true.
You know, somebody's just hurt. And, you know, usually you need a good cry. You need somebody
right.
to listen to you.
Right.
And also, now, I mean, I have a focus of where I want to go, which is I don't want to hurt like this. I don't want to, you know, engage like this. I know where this goes.
Right.
And after all these years, I know where this ends up. Not a good place. Don't want to go there. But I'm wondering about these myths, you know, for you know, sort of a new marriage or something that hasn't been.
Well, and you talked about how deep down it's always about someone being hurt.
Yes.
And I think deep down it's about someone then not being heard.
That
true. Person feels they haven't been heard during this situation.
Right.
And I have to say that I don't know where I stand on this, because there have been times where I've said, this is not important, so
mm-hmm.
I don't need to be heard, because I've gone down this path with someone, and I know where
mm-hmm.
it's going to end, I assume, making
mm-hmm.
another assumption,
mm-hmm.
breaking another agreement.
Another rule, yes, exactly.
But, and then in my mind I go, it's just not that important.
Mm-hmm.
But I know at that point when I say that, I'm not giving myself enough respect
yes,
to
exactly,
figure that out.
Exactly.
And I'm not giving him enough respect to say, we can go the distance on this.
Right.
It's tricky.
It's tricky. And also, in general, you know, like Norm and I have been married a long time. We're not really at that power struggle
right.
stage anymore.
Right.
Where there's lots of couples that are still in that power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more tricky.
Right.
And then you do need one that take the high road.
Right.
You know, that I don't have to engage in and I don't have to win this one.
Right.
You know, everybody else always says, you know, is this the hill you want to die on? You know, no. I mean,
so
is this battle the one that, you know,
exactly.
you have to win? No. Mm-mm.
And I do like that one cardinal rule. I'd rather be kind than right.
Yes.
So overall, because they talk about in this article that it's okay to get a bit angry, because you rather get good sleep
mm-hmm.
and be in the right frame of mind the next day to resolve the issues
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So where do you stand on that? Do you think
I think the adult way would say, you know what, okay, it's getting close to bed. We both need to get our rest.
Right.
Let's put a moratorium on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can either dissolve this or we can resolve this tomorrow, you know, but so that we can, you know, be grown-ups and take care of our physical bodies.
So in some ways, the conversation can continue, but you're putting the anger temporarily in a bag or
mm-hmm.
in a box
mm-hmm.
to reopen at a later date.
Oh, yeah. And girlfriend, that will definitely get triggered again. I'm sure
yeah.
I can guarantee that one.
Exactly. So number two, the next one is,
sure.
your spouse should be your best friend. Now, I know that this is I believe this to be true when I was a young girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
Who wanted to marry my best
friend.
Yeah,
I'm going
to
marry my best friend.
Who will always take care of me.
Yeah.
Woo!
can anybody out there hear the sound of this? This raspberry. I mean, it would be lovely. It would be nice and sweet. But as Julie always says, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. That's pretty hard to be best friends when, you know, you're very rarely on the same page.
And I think we can redefine the word best friend. I think that your spouse is probably high up there. And you could call him your best friend or
mm-hmm.
her your best friend. And then you have your other best friend
mm-hmm.
that you'll get a different response from.
Right.
Someone who's not in the thick of it with you. But and adores you and loves you and has been there for everything and can kind of give you a different perspective.
I'm going to sing a song like, people let me tell you about my best friend. You know that song?
Yes, I do. It's Courtship of Eddie's Father.
That's right.
No.
Yes.
Eddie's Father.
I just reached back way back at the time machine.
Yeah.
And pulled that one out.
He's my long, cuddling toy, my up, my down,
that's
my pride and joy.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Something like that.
You know, there is some, there's some nurture, there's some succor and, you know, confidence in having your mate, you know, be that, to be that intimate and that close.
Right.
Know? But they can't take care of I mean, I'm not saying, and I'm not making assumptions again, but in general, they can't take care of your every need.
Right.
They're just not designed that way. That's why everybody needs a good girlfriend.
Or somebody else, exactly, to kind of buffer.
Or a gay man.
That's right. Or a family member, anybody, you know, that can tell it like it is in a different way. Mm-hmm. And there's just not that investment in the relationship so that, therefore, I don't know, it could just be, it's sweeter, it's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one woman was talking about, I want to say the Amish, and I could be wrong on this, but it's just known that, hey, you know, you have a ton of women friends that support you in your marriage, and then you have your marriage to your husband, and so forth.
Oh, interesting. No, I that doesn't sound Amish to me, but I don't know.
I don't know either. I could be making. I don't know.
But I understand that.
You hear things in the wind, and you're like, ah, is that true? Is that true? It's all true, and it's all wrong. It's all a myth, and it's all true. So let's move on to number three.
Sure.
Okay. Always be honest.
Right.
Now, you weren't honest today, and I thought that was awesome.
But I was kind.
Yes, you were kind.
Yeah.
And so we know that's a myth. Now, listen,
I think you need to be honest in the big things.
Yes.
I mean, that's ridiculous or redonkulous if you're not honest with your mate in the big stuff.
Yes, if you lost $20 at the boat, you may say, oh, it was an okay time, you know, didn't lose much.
Mm-hmm.
You lost $1,000. I think that's something to tell your mate about.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or
hey.
If you took the real diamond out of your ring, pawned it, and put a fake diamond in,
yes. You've got some issues going on. And I think you should tell your spouse that for support and help and, like, let's get them. But you probably aren't.
And every guy knows every guy knows what to say to this question. Do these pants make my butt look big?
Yes.
Everybody knows. Every guy knows the answer to that,
no.
right?
No, your butt looks great in those pants.
Great in those pants.
I love your butt in those pants, and I especially love your butt in those other pants.
That's right.
You've got nothing but good butt pants
that's
going
right.
on.
That's right.
Yeah. So we know that's definitely a myth, you know, about always being honest.
Yeah. But you know, there, you do appreciate sometimes, though, somebody that is not a yes man.
Right.
You know, it's especially when you really want to be intimate with someone, there is that I need somebody to tell me the you know what their real opinion is or what their real truth is, you know. So I think it's all, you know, it's kind of great.
Well, and it's good to know, because if you can be really honest with somebody and you had that relationship, it usually means because one of the other agreements is don't take anything personally.
Right.
You can
so we're
going
to get to that whole thing.
That's
so awesome.
We're getting there. We're going to.
That is so awesome.
I'm breaking it right now. You know, I take everything personally you said today.
I know you did.
I'm breaking it right now, girlfriend. And this one I think is interesting, this idea that once you're married, the marriage can take care of itself. Now, I understand that thinking back as a young person, thinking that was true, like being married was all you have to do and everything would
mm-hmm.
fall into place from
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And I'm wondering if in the old days there was so much to do down on the farm and stuff
right.
that, you know, you probably didn't, but I sure as heck think that, you know, you need, you know, special time, you need, you know, a little romance, you need a little Lollapalooza in your life, which is where Norm and I went, yes. That Friday.
You did.
Down to
That's
Chicago.
Right. You went to Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza.
I love that.
You know, Perry Farrell, Jane's Addiction. Yay.
Well, I can't even imagine you being down there. Tell me, did you really go to see Lollapalooza? Were you, I mean, tell
Absolutely.
Me the truth.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. You were in 100 feet from them.
Yes.
From Lollapalooza.
We were less than 100 feet from within the.
Oh. Did it require you buying tickets?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, okay.
No.
And I will buy the fact that you were there.
It didn't require to get out of the vehicle.
Nothing wrong
because
with that.
Because there were so many throngs of people that, you know, it was just impossible to open the doors, you know.
Exactly. Hey, there you go. How was it? Was it pretty wild?
It was wild.
Very cool.
It was good and wild and, like, a little nerve-wracking and crazy, cray-cray, all of it, all of the above.
Well, then, before we get to our last myth,
mm-hmm.
I want to go into Zen Corner.
Oh, my God, we're doing Zen Corner.
Yes, we're doing Zen Corner today.
So you're surprising me.
Am I surprising you?
Okay, ready? Here comes Julie doing Zen Corner.
We're going to, at this time, we'd like to say a quote, something spiritual that reflects, just kind of something to say, makes you say, kind of curious. So, here you go.
Is that what Zen Corner is? Just makes you say,
No, here's the quote. The tighter you squeeze, the less you have. Matsu. Now, you demonstrate this all the time by saying, yes, now put sand in your hand. And if you try to grasp on the sand, the sand just falls through your fingers. But if you leave your palm out straight, flat, you can put quite a bit of sand in your palm.
I try to tell my people that all the time.
I don't know exactly what you're saying, what that metaphor is about. How often am I carrying sand?
It's about sand. It's chop wood, carry water,
hold
sand in the palm of your hand.
There you go.
That's my Zen Corner.
And I'm thinking it means it's all about this idea of not holding on too tightly.
Yes.
To whatever, your dreams, your fights, your disagreements.
Right. If you hold on to something that you love and it goes, if it comes back, and I don't know. I don't know that one.
I'm just thinking that you get to experience more joy by not holding on to it too tightly.
Right. Everybody knows what happens when you, what was it? You call it a tight squeeze? Is that what you
have? The tighter you squeeze, the less you have.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of sounds like being very anal retentive.
And being selfish.
Okay.
Being,
You got to hold on. You got to hold on, baby.
I can't share. I don't want to share. I don't want to give. I don't want to let anybody see what I have.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really true, though, because I remember people by, this is really true now. If I've met someone, I absolutely get a feel if they're generous or not.
Right.
I get a feel if they're stingy or like they're tight or if they're generous. And that's my first take on somebody usually. Wow, that's a generous soul.
Mm.
And, you know, I've met people and, like, even when we met Jack Canfield.
Right.
My first thought was, he's a generous man.
Exactly.
You know, he'll give you not just one, not just two, but three things that you need. I mean, it's more than what you ask for. And then there's some people like, oh, you want a copy of my book? That'll be $13.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you know, even though you're interviewing them.
Right.
You know, and
we'll take a download.
Yeah, exactly.
Download me a chapter, please.
Exactly.
That you're exactly right. And you get that feeling right off the bat. And so I say, think now about lessening your squeeze on life, on things that you love. And now I'm going to go back to myth number five.
Okay,
of
what's
the
fifth myth, girlfriend?
Yes, as we get through this. And we're talking about how marriage is a 50-50 prospect.
Right.
No.
Right. I don't agree with that at all. You're either all in or you're not in. I mean, it's 100%.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
And I think because I may look at you and you may think we're splitting the job or we're splitting it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving what I think is 25% effort.
Right.
You think you're giving 50-50.
Right.
And so, yes.
I can remember when we were married very, very young, Norm would always say, well, you know, if we couldn't agree on something, he'd go, well, let's compromise. And I never liked that because I always felt like then nobody gets what they want, you know. There's got to be a way to figure out, because compromise just seems sort of watered down, you know.
That is a great point. I think it's a great thing to learn with marriages because if everybody is always compromising, no one ever gets what they really want.
Right.
And don't you want some of you guys, you know, don't you want to get what you want sometimes?
Yes.
And you want your other person to get what they want sometimes?
Right.
And this idea of going in 100%, it's really about, I want to make sure that you are happy. And I think the other person wants to make sure that you're happy.
Yes.
And by doing that, you kind of come together and it's like, hey, let's make sure we're happy together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess. Imagine me and you. I do. I think about you
day
and
night.
It's only right.
There you go.
So happy together.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I just have to break. You break into Zen Corner.
Yeah.
I break into song.
Yeah, I love it.
From the 60s, but oh well.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So it's important just to give. Not 50-50, but to give. Give 100%.
And that's a good setup for this idea of talking about the giving tree. Because we... You today said, I want to tell you about our last night. You said, I want to tell you about this story I read about.
Well,
on
I'll
Amazon.
Tell you why.
Tell me how it went down.
Yeah. Well, the reason it went down was I got an email from Amazon that said, you know, I talked about the Clutterfly Effect. And it said, you know, if you love the Clutterfly Effect, you'll like this book, The Giving Tree. I'm like, what? And so I had to look it up because, it, you know, and I was one of famous author, Shel Silverstein, and it just talked about the giving tree. It's a children's book, really. I think it says something like from 8 to, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I told Julie this, and she goes, oh, I know that book. And I proceeded to tell
yeah.
you about it because I had never really read it, but I had read a, you know, synopsis of it.
Right.
And you kept saying, no, that's okay. Don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
No,
okay.
no, don't, that, don't, you don't have to tell me, I'm okay. And I go, please let me tell you. No, don't.
I know the story, don't have
tell
to tell me.
I know it. And then you broke out and cried, but, so, you know, do a little synopsis of it.
Okay, I'll do a little synopsis of it. It's basically how this beautiful tree.
This beautiful tree, apple tree.
This boy would come to visit every day. And they began to have a relationship. In the beginning, I'm not taking away anything. There's no spoiler alerts here.
No, there's no spoiler alerts.
It's a very sweet book. You know, this young boy, he was hungry in the tree, and I'm doing this from memory from way back when, but this tree would give the boy apples to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was hot, he would get shade from his beautiful leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the boy grow up and get older.
And he would play in the tree.
He would play in the tree. And he would, I think, even build a house in the tree. I'm not sure.
Well, the first thing he wanted was he came to the tree and he was hungry. And then that's when the tree gave him some apples. And a little bit later, he came to the tree and he said, I need cash. I need some money. And the tree, loving this little boy after all these years, said, well, take all my apples and sell them.
Right.
And get the money. And then he came to the tree after that and he said, I need a boat. I need a boat. And he said, well, cut some of my branches down and you can build, you know, a boat from my branches. And so the boy did that as well. And then he's a man now and he comes to the tree and says, I need a house.
Yeah.
And the tree that loves this boy, now a man, said, you can take whatever you need from me. And he just chops this tree down. And there's nothing left but a stump. And he builds a house with the tree.
Yeah.
And later on, his kids are all grown, and I think his wife has passed on or whatever. And he comes back to the stump, and he tries to have a relationship with the tree again. And he said, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so weary. This life has been just hard. And the tree goes, I got a stump you can sit on. And he does. And you can see the little heart in the stump where he had written when he was a little boy. I think, no, something with his name was Matt plus tree.
And it's very interesting you say that because I'm reading some of the reviews of this. And I remember as a child reading this book, seeing it on a video or on a film in school, and just hating this, feeling so sad by this story. Mm-hmm. This little boy I thought was just wretched.
Right.
And just creepy and wretched. And
this is what's so amazing about this book because, I mean, to have the Clutterfly Effect, if you like the Clutterfly Effect, you love the Giving Tree. And I was very curious, you know, about this. And it's hardly anyone feels middle of the road about this book. And like you said, you felt this boy was wretched.
I did. And there are many, 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 many people who gave this book 5 stars. just tons. I mean, like, well, 724. And then I love it that, you know, there's never that many fours or three to twos, and there's a lot. There's 121 one stars. And so you put them together, so you got, like, you know, over 250 maybe, of less than five stars. And but I was reading this one description, this one review, and they call it the codependent tree.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yes, and this person goes, you know, I read this book when I was a child and loved the story. I thought it was just so sweet about this generous tree and this boy that was kind of thoughtless.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just a really interesting story. But as an adult, I just can't take it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. And it says, who will my kids connect with? The doormat of the tree or the brat of the boy?
This is just craziness, isn't it? Like this one woman said, this book says it's for, you know, 8 years old and up. I would never let my 8-year-old read this. It would be, you know, they would be, you know, wounded for life, you know?
Yes.
And then some people said, like, oh, I can, you know, I think the tree represents Shel Silverstein saying that the tree is a mother's love. A mother just gives and gives and gives and gives, and finally a mother hopes that at the end of her life, her child comes back and, you know, will sit and hold her hand or appreciate her. And, but I mean, because I guess there is no real resolution in this book. You know, everybody has sort of a deep felt feeling.
Yeah,
about this book. I mean, I was just reading the synopsis and I was crying. I felt it, like, way in the deepest pit of my stomach. I felt this book.
And you felt it, though, in a very sweet, positive way. I got the impression.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hated the boy, too, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was like,
brat.
Couldn't you just come back a little more often?
Right.
Do you always just come to ask? I mean, in some ways, I felt like it was like our, you know, a lot of our immature relationships with God. You know, we see God as, you know, Santa Claus. Or I heard one person say, yeah, all your Christmas presents come from God. They're just delivered by Santa Claus, you know. But I mean, so we, you know, we sort of have this, you know, as we're not full adults, we think of God as this giving tree. Give me this, give me that, you know, please give me this.
Give me shelter, give me everything.
Everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. Money, food, you know. And so there's, to me, that's one take on it, you know, and how to, you know, grow up that primary relationship.
In some ways, all this story does give is just more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And do you identify with this story too much? And then if you do, or if you do, you know, what part do you identify with and how can you heal that part in yourself? Because there is no resolution. And then he gives there is no, like, hell, and then feel this way. Or here's what you can do.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't really, if I reading the story, I don't have an identification with either the tree or the little boy. I really don't.
Right.
But maybe someone whoever wrote that codependent one, you know, wrote about, I feel this, I just give and I give and I give and I give and I don't get anything in return, or, you know, you feel like you're the taker.
Right,
you know?
And she does question, it was by Christine, by the way, so it wasn't you, Christine, but she does question that maybe she's not getting his point to this book, and maybe it is meant for us to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that one.
But as a child, do you want them to read? This is not
as an 8-year-old. What are they expecting to do?
Well, I mean, I know what I knew what I did as an 8-year-old, and I read the book and then saw it on this, you know, in video or whatever it was when I was going to school.
Yeah.
I felt like this boy was creepy.
Yeah.
And this poor tree, who I think was not talking to the boy at all.
Mm-hmm.
The boy was on LSD or something. He was imagining all this. You know, and got permission to cut it down. It's like, screw you, boy. You're just being creepy. But I'm the girl that cried when I was at kindergarten about Jesus dying on the cross.
When
you
found out in preschool or kindergarten that Jesus died on the cross.
I always knew that.
But when you saw the pictures and stuff, you know, your teacher had to bring you home.
Yes. I was so hysterical.
You were so verklempt.
I just kept saying, why Jesus?
Why does Jesus have to die?
Like this? This is terrible.
Yeah. Who would do this?
And I'm still thinking now, like, really, is that the... Could they have not softened the edges for a five-year-old? I mean, I have nightmares still.
It's a hard knock life, girl.
I know. I'm like, really? At 5 years old, I have to see poor Jesus walking down with his big cross being tortured and all that. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's too much for me to take.
I mean, now I get the idea now why it all had to happen.
Well, now you know that for every Good Friday, there's a Holy Sunday.
Yes.
You know.
And like, you know, and here's the rest of the story.
That's right. Who's the guy?
I can't think of his name. I know he passed away. I can't think of his name.
Texas
Harvey.
Name.
Paul Harvey. Yep.
That's
here's
right.
The rest of the story.
That's
exactly.
Right. So even the Giving Tree has haters in their reviews. And that made me feel a little bit better because we, on our Clutterfly Effect book, we have all 5-star reviews. Except this week we got a 3-star.
Yeah, can I read you one quote, though, from someone's hater?
Oh, sure.
A bad review of this book.
Of the Giving Tree?
Yes.
I just had to laugh.
This is so
please.
Funny. Okay, it said, exactly. Oh, wait. This way. Oh, no. Here it goes. Oh, I just lost it.
No.
I just lost it.
It just vanished?
Yes. Oh, here it goes. The book should be called The Giving Tree and the Heartless Killer. I love it. But here's what I love about this more than anything is the time it took to write these reviews. Some literally must be 200, 300 words.
Yeah, and
maybe
that takes
more.
Time.
That takes time. These are well-written reviews.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have that much desire to review something that thoughtful.
Right.
Maybe I don't understand Amazon enough because maybe there's some kind of bonus for reviewing and doing that.
I don't know either.
I don't know, but it's crazy.
Yeah. But the Giving Tree and the Heartless Killer.
Yeah. You know what? I would buy that book.
Yes.
I would buy that book today. I love that. I'm like, what's that about?
The Giving Tree,
the Heartless Killer.
Exactly.
Holy mother of God, that looks so scary.
Well, if you like the Giving Tree, you will like Sinkhole
DeMaio. Yeah, who's that written by?
By C.D. Peters.
Yeah.
On Kindle.
C. Peters. I don't know. Could that be Christine?
It could be. Could be.
Yes. Sinkhole DeMaio. I'm going to do a little review from someone who's not biased.
Thank you, girlfriend.
Yes. Sinkhole DeMaio. A nice summer read for an afternoon at the beach.
Mm.
You know, if you like zombies. If you like
zombies. If you like the Nazis.
Yes.
Well, who likes the Nazis?
If you like Nazis being the bad guys.
Yeah, if you like bad Nazis.
If you like zombies. If you like Nazis and zombies together.
If you like time travel.
And if you like wrestlers that become heroes.
Zomboys.
You know.
And there also is, inside Sinkhole DeMaio, a wonderful recipe for cinnamon coffee cake.
Yes.
Just saying.
Sinkhole DeMaio is for you. You can get on Amazon Kindle.
Yes.
But get it right there, Sinkhole DeMaio.
Like Sinkhole.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's called Sinkhole DeMaio, Birth of a Zomboy.
That's right.
Very awesome. And also two new books coming in the future, I hope, Christine Marie.
Yes.
Good. I like that.
Yeah, not saying the title yet.
No.
I shouldn't.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good. So, okay, so we talked about the Giving Tree, and I do want to get to...
Do you have another Zen...
I do.
Corner.
Zen Corner. Okay. Here it comes from Ram Dass.
Oh, I love Ram Dass.
The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Makes you want to go,
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's so true,
and yet here we are gabbing.
Exactly. And so I'm going to gab a little bit because I want to make sure people know that where they can get a hold of us at. They can get a hold of us at theclutterflyeffect.com, which is our website. And you can also email us at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. We have a Twitter page, too, Prosperity Duo. And we have a Facebook page, too, but we don't do it very good.
No.
We're not there.
But maybe someday we will be. But also, if you buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, this week, let us know. Send us a copy of the receipt or something at Amazon, and we'll send you for free the
audio
book.
Yep.
And the audio has been done by Christine Marie and Julie.
Do, do, do.
The giving mother and daughter.
Exactly. You know, it's so funny, too, because sometimes when we're doing the book, I will have a mishap. I will say something, and it will lead to giggles and lead to jokes and all that stuff, the outtakes.
Yes.
And I'm always afraid I will have...
Oh, me too.
I will have not edited that out somehow,
yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
And then that
we
will
do
become,
all this ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
just,
that's who we are.
Yes,
that's how we fly.
That's how we fly. That's how we roll, baby.
Exactly. And so I want to say, you know, I hope nothing, you know, it's a good... I hope I edited everything out.
Yeah.
We'll see. So you can go right on to Amazon.com. You can pick up The Clutterfly Effect and let us know by email. Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. We'll send you the downloads of the audiobook, which is kind of cool. I love that.
And it's like for $13 and change, and I mean change.
Yeah.
Because it's tweak your way to total transformation.
That's right. Ba-dum-bum.
I know.
And
I'm, while you're there on Amazon,
why not pick up a Kindle version of Sinkhole to Mile.
That's right.
Also by...
Why not?
And here's the thing I want to say. As you may read both of
and
them...
And you could be the first to review it.
Yes. And I should review it because I read it. I love it. But as you reread Sinkhole to Mile, you're going to go, okay, I don't... Christine Marie's crazy. She's got two minds.
She has a split personality.
How could the person who wrote The Clutterfly Effect also write Sinkhole to Mile? And you will understand my childhood. You will get me. You will go, oh, I get Julie now.
I understand her now.
Yeah. I get her.
Got it. I see it. Schizoid, mama.
I mean... I'm not saying schizoid, but I'm saying that you have this dark side.
Yes, I do.
And you're going deeper with that.
Yes.
And you have the, you know, the woman with the master's degree and the psychotherapist, you know, the psychotherapist, the coach,
mm-hmm.
and very intuitive.
Yes, all the good stuff.
Yes.
And then there's C.D. Peters.
Yes. C.D. Peters, who has a penchant
for four-letter words sometimes.
Yes. If you do not be afraid of swear words. If you
no.
are, do not buy the book. But
yeah.
they're in there. Not
Few.
Every other word.
No, no.
We're not talking
Deadwood
here.
And I'm not saying that I said them. I'm saying that Tony Camaro says them.
Right. These are not your words.
No, they're not my words.
These are
but the
your
character.
Channel, your character. Exactly right. Yes. I know you creative types. You can get into that character. It's not who you are. It's
no.
who the character is.
Right.
I understand.
Mm. Good girl.
Very, very, very good. Can I take one break real quick?
Sure.
I just want to say I had a very fun moment yesterday. My mother was being very intuitive because I had to get my – I knew well, – you had called me and you say, hey, Julie, are you getting your hair cut today? I'm like, no, not that I'm aware of. I know it's sometime in August because
mm-hmm.
I get one every 3 months. I get it highlighted and cut every 3 months. So I have short
whether you
hair,
need it or not.
Yeah, I have short hair to medium hair every 3 months. So you know where I'm at. And I go, well, wait a minute. I better call him and find out. I call. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And he goes, oh, Julie, I have you down for 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. And so, you know, I want to give you props, Mom.
Thank
I don't
you,
think
girlfriend.
I gave you props enough.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's just, you know, listen, most moms are, you know, have intuition, but...
You have more than usual.
I just have more than, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, I feel if I give you props on the radio, it's worth more. Okay?
Oh, true. It's true.
I'm getting bonus points. Yeah.
I have to pay for that haircut,
Julie. I like that. Your intuitive skills are awesome, and I love it because when you coach, you always throw in your intuitive counseling.
I do.
Your intuitive coaching.
I do. I do. I cannot not do that. It's so part of me.
It's like
and
the
I
woman.
I think that's what most people think is the, you know, the pearls. That's the pearls.
Right. Well, it's like the psychic from Long Island or Long Island psychic, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name.
Yeah.
She talks like this, you know.
Long Island medium.
Medium, that's it. I mean, she doesn't mean to see dead people everywhere or spirits.
No.
She just does.
Yeah.
That's how you are.
That's right.
You don't mean to be so intuitive, but you just are.
I just am.
Exactly. So, okay, so now I'm transitioning again in a hard transition. So everybody put your brakes on, make a hard right-hand turn, because now we're finally talking about the four agreements. In the last 10 minutes of the show, I'm getting you there. We're going to end this show right.
It's so funny, though, because no matter where you go, you can't get away from the four agreements.
You can't.
They're everywhere.
I've broken them.
And I'm going to ask you a question. You always
yes.
throw this stuff on me, right?
Okay.
Because you're trying to surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote the Four Agreements?
Oh, God. Don Ruiz.
Oh, you did. You got it. Oh, okay.
I always afraid I'm going to pronounce his name wrong.
No. That was good. I didn't think you would know it.
Oh, I didn't even have it written down either. That's awesome.
You just pulled it out of your brain.
Yeah. Well, because here we are talking about the haters again.
Yeah.
And I say haters, but really they're being very reflective about their reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that sometimes, like, when their haters are just being haters,
mm-hmm.
they just want to spew out their negative energy, and they probably spew it out to everybody. And I always say, well, hopefully they're just spewing it out to us or somebody else and not to their family, who
mm-hmm.
really counts. And if that's the case, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spew it out to people you don't really care about. But yet the people who hear it then need to have a protection around them.
Well,
so.
Exactly right. And you're talking about the reviews, just like
right.
we saw on The Giving Tree and on the Clutterfly Effect. And I mean, I've heard Oprah talk, and
yeah.
she'll say, I don't read it. I let somebody
right.
else handle that. I do not need to go there. And she gets I swear my hand to God, she gets major haters.
Oh yes, there
I
are.
Mean for this woman who's got beautiful soul overall. You know, I mean,
my feeling is there is an equal part to everything. So for as much success as you have equal parts hate. I
yeah.
don't know if that's true,
mm-hmm.
but it's the law of polarity, I guess.
Sure,
and
the
something.
Law of polarity.
And so the four agreements. We read it. I read it a while ago, and I remember thinking, oh, this is a good book. I didn't think it was a great book either.
Mm-mm.
And then I remember reading the reviews and going, I agree with this review.
Yeah.
And
I mean, because it's like I said, it's been number one forever.
Right.
Or at least in the top 100.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty big. But, I mean, I know it's always up there. And, you know, so we read the book. Basically, I'll just say the four agreements
okay.
real quick. You know, I'll let you say them.
Okay. Well, number one, be impeccable with your word.
Be impeccable with your word.
Number two,
yeah.
don't take anything personally.
Never do that.
And number three, don't make assumptions. Why?
Because you make an ass out of you and me.
Yes. Number four, always do your best. Woo!
And this man has you know, just taken number one spot, year after year after year with this book.
Yes.
The Four Agreements. And I tend to shake my head. I love the Four Agreements.
Right. Well,
but just during this hour, like you said, we broke every one of them.
Well, here's what this one person said. The Four Agreements. If you have nothing to say, nice to say, say nothing. Number two, the world does not revolve around you. Number three, when you assume, make a blank out of you and me.
Uh-huh.
And four, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. There, I just saved you $11 and 4 hours of your life.
No, that's amazing.
My mother taught them to me as a child.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
And that's kind of how I felt, because
yeah.
I felt like, you know, come on, we've been telling this stuff.
Yeah.
telling this stuff. It's not.
And then everybody kind of like this, you know, when you say the name Don Ruiz and the Four Agreements, you're supposed to crush her, you know, make the sign of the cross
yeah,
and,
like, oh, no,
and sort of bow and, you know, kiss the
yeah.
rosary.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent book.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also very kind. I think writing is hard, so I'm always
yeah.
like, if you can get a book down, I'm like, that's already a,
yeah.
a B+ for me. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, you were telling me this week, or was it last week, like you're an Adam Carolla fan, and we love him, but what he does,
Well,
yeah,
yeah, but I like Adam Carolla's podcast. I like Joe Rogan's podcast, and they have haters as well. They have people always dissing them or whatever, and they said, I look at some of them because sometimes they're telling the truth, maybe not the way I want it,
mm-hmm.
and I agree with it, and I kind of go, okay, I understand this point,
mm-hmm.
I can get this, and I can improve.
Right.
And so I like seeing it now.
And then
other
you would
times,
call them the haters, basically. You might call them
a fan that maybe sees a flaw.
Yeah,
a critiquer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there for your improvement. Mm-hmm. And then it goes, but there are other times when you know that they're just haters, because they will not just hate you. You'll mm-hmm. you'll see they're hating all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just say, you're not part of my group anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to read you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Right.
I'm not going to engage. And that's kind of what you have to do. It's sort of like, and if you could have somebody do this for you or take a look and say, hey, you've gotten several people saying you do this, you know, you do this, can you
mm-hmm.
stop doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I do a lot of ums or you knows. I'm like, oh, I can work on that.
Right. I remember, this wasn't revolving about the radio show or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I used to get this email from this guy who wanted me to do intuitive work for him.
Right.
But the problem he presented to me, using my intuition, felt like it was a deeper problem that maybe required some sort of, you know, something like psychiatrist couch. Okay.
Right.
I just want to say that. So I just said, you know, I just get a sense that, you know, you need to go to somebody professional, whatever. And then about a week later, I got like a really hateful email.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to help me, blah, blah, blah. And so I just tried to keep it really neutral. And it went back about two or three times back and forth. And finally, he just got, like, bigger and bigger and vicious. And I just had to take him off my email list.
Yeah, you're like, I think the last thing he said was, you know.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't like your emails. And you're like, okay, no problem. I go, you're off our list. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm like, dude, don't keep emailing back asking me for help then.
Yeah. And then the last thing is, I do not like your emails.
Yeah.
Like, something like that.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
I went, no problem.
No problem.
Bing. That was one.
Yes.
That was one. Yeah. That's how we handled our hater.
Exactly. And I tried to go, okay, is there anything I can learn from him that might be actual wisdom? There might have been. I took it and I did something different with it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it was like, really, if it's a match, that's one good thing about working for yourself, is that you don't have to work with everybody.
Julie, hold on. Zen corner.
Yes, you cannot be everybody.
The one thing about working for yourself is
you don't
have to work with everybody.
You get to choose.
Yeah.
You get to choose who you work with.
Julie, that was genius.
Well, what is that quote? You can't please everybody.
That's right.
But you can only please some people some of the time. I don't
know. Julie. I'm sorry, you made me snort.
Please yourself. I think it's Abraham Lincoln.
No,
I don't.
P.T. Barnum.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Abraham Lincoln. You can't please all the people all the time. But they make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
You're sort of weeding them all in there.
I think he said that right before the Civil War. Well, you can't please everybody.
Yeah, he said, you can't please everyone, Mr. Mudd.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then it's like, done. And so that's true. That's true. So I just want to say again, before we're going to do a little talking before we end the show, because
mm-hmm.
we're getting close to that time.
We are.
Yeah, so go visit us at theclutterflyeffect.com. Our blog is also ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Which I haven't done in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's okay.
But talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com and go buy the book. Get
the
a free audio.
Effect. Yes. And you're working on the audio right now for Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yes, I am. The voice of Tony Camara will be played by C.D. Peters.
A woman.
minimum. You know what that means, don't you?
You're doing your exercises?
Yes.
Okay, good. And for me, it'd be like, I can't do it during corn season when my sinuses are bad and people can hear me wheezing. Tony Camaro has a wheeze. He's like, I'm going to get those zombies. Excuse me, I got to sneeze first.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my Benadryl?
I love it that you talk about corn season.
Everybody, well, we're surrounded by corn.
Right. Three words, corn.
Exactly. Hey, good girlfriend, we're done.
All right.
Good girlfriend,
make the wrong thing right.
Everybody,
good girlfriend,
heart of gold.
Yay. Bye, everyone.